everyone. Today is Valentine's Day, the day when the world turned its mind towards romantic love. In our service today, we too are going to think about love, but a different, a greater kind of love. Before we start into that, I heard a story the other day that talks about the love that this world knows. There was a young lad, I think he was from the rifle range, and one of his neighbours asked him a question. She said, "Is your sister still dating that nice young man she's been going out with for a couple of years now? They always seem so much in love." "Well, they're not in love anymore," the boy replied. "In fact, they hardly ever even talk to each other anymore." "Oh, I'm so sorry to hear that," said the neighbour. "I can't believe they've split up after all this time." "Oh no," said the lad. "They haven't split up. It's far worse than that. They've got married." What a terrible, jaded view of marriage this lad had. And somehow that seems to be prevalent in society today. Now, before we turn to God's word, I wanted to tell you about the origins of Valentine's Day. It may help with what we begin to unpack later on. It was around 250 AD, so about 250 years after Jesus, when there lived a priest whose name was Valentine. He lived in Rome during the reign of Emperor Claudius. Claudius was the emperor who was committed to rebuilding the once great Roman army. However, Claudius believed that men would fight more valiantly if they volunteered rather than being drafted against their will. But given a choice, even then, most young men in the Roman Empire refused to serve. Frankly, they'd rather just stay at home with their wives and their children than go off to war. Claudius came to believe that only single men would volunteer for service. So he issued a royal edict. All marriages, all weddings would be banned for the foreseeable future. He actually outlawed weddings in the whole of the Roman Empire, earning himself the nickname Claudius the Cruel. Now, Valentine knew that what this emperor had said was ridiculous. It flies in the face of God's word. One of his favourite duties as a priest was to marry people. So after Emperor Claudius passed this silly law, Valentine secretly continued performing wedding ceremonies. He would whisper the words of the ceremony while listening for the footsteps of soldiers on the steps at the time. And indeed, one day, one night, Valentine did hear footsteps at the door. The couple he was marrying escaped, but he himself was caught. He was thrown in jail and he was then sentenced to death. Valentine tried to stay cheerful. Many of the young couples he'd married came to see him in jail. They threw flowers and notes up to his window. They wanted him to know that they too believed in love and marriage. Now, one day, the daughter of one of the prison guards paid Valentine a visit. They sat and talked for hours. Over time, they grew very fond of each other, and on the day that Valentine was executed, he left her a note thanking her for her friendship and her loyalty. He signed it, "Love, your Valentine." That note started the custom of exchanging love notes on Valentine's Day. It was written on the day that he died, which coincidentally was February the 14th, 269 AD. The same day that we set aside to honour a man, a godly man, who gave his life because he believed in the splendour and sacredness of marriage. Now, having heard these two stories, let's come to the Word of God. We're going to read our Bible passage together now, and then we'll unpack what it has to say to us. So let's turn to Mark chapter 12, and we're going to read verses 28 to 34. This passage of Scripture is headed "The Greatest Commandment." "One of the teachers of the law came and heard them debating. noticing that Jesus had given them a good answer, he asked of him, "Of all the commandments, which is the most important?" "The most important one," answered Jesus, "is this: Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind and with all your strength. The second is this: Love your neighbour as yourself. There is no commandment greater than these." "Well said, teacher," the man replied. "You were right in saying that God is one and there is no other but him. To love him with all your heart, with all your understanding and with all your strength, and to love your neighbours as yourself, is more important than all the burnt offerings and sacrifices." When Jesus saw that he had entered wisely, he said to him, "You are not far from the kingdom of God." And from then on, no one dared ask him any more questions. Now, if you've been around church for even just a little while, you'll probably find those verses are familiar. You may not know exactly where they can be found in the Bible, but I hope you'll know that these verses are well known. And they're not just well known to us as Christians either. These verses are also well known to the Jews. But the Jews don't have the New Testament, do they? They don't believe that Jesus was the Messiah. So how could they believe these verses? How could they know these verses? Well, simply, Jesus, replying to this teacher of the law, is actually quoting two Old Testament scriptures. Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 5 says, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength." And Leviticus chapter 19, verse 18 says, "Do not seek revenge or bear a grudge against anyone among your people, but love your neighbour as yourself. I am the Lord." We need to recognise that what Jesus is saying here is something very, very important. And what is this important thing that he's trying to get over to us? Well, these verses are actually fundamental to the gospel. They're fundamental to the good news of who Jesus Christ is. These words tell us as disciples of Jesus how we should live our lives. These verses take us beyond mere religion, beyond offering and sacrifice. These verses can indeed put us in a place where we are close enough to God to be living wisely. But these verses also give us all we need to follow Jesus. These verses equip us with the essentials of the gospel. These verses are our Christian DNA, our kingdom character. There is even a sense that when we really begin to understand what these verses really mean, we stop questioning and testing Jesus and learn to just completely trust in him. Now, this is not the only time in the Gospels that we find these same words. We read the same account in Matthew chapter 22, verses 37 to 39. The context is very similar to this one in Mark. But Matthew doesn't give such an extensive record of the conversation between Jesus and the teacher of the law. In Luke's Gospel, these verses occur in chapter 10, verse 27, but in a slightly different context. There, an expert in the law asks, "What must I do to inherit eternal life?" And Jesus, hearing this question, turns it around and says, "Well, what do you think?" The expert in the law uses the same words as the ones in Mark. Then this happens in Luke 10:29. But he, the expert in the law, wanted to justify himself, so he asked Jesus, "And who is my neighbour?" And it's here that Jesus goes on to tell the parable of the Good Samaritan. Maybe we'll take a closer look at this account another day and focus on loving our neighbour. Anyway, there we are. We've heard about it now. And there's a fair bit in that to take in, isn't there? But we've given you, I hope, I've given you a little bit of a the context as well as the biblical perspective of these verses. So now as we begin to reflect on what we've heard, let's focus on what it means to love God with all of our heart. From the beginning, I want it to be made clear, as we discussed just a few weeks ago, almost always when the Bible uses the word heart, it's not talking about the physical organ that pumps blood around our body. But knowing the importance of the relationship between our physical heart and the rest of our physical body really helps us to understand the importance of the relationship between our spiritual heart, if you like, and our love for God. Our physical heart is vital to life. If our heart stops beating, well, we die. If our heart has defects in it, it makes living very difficult. But you know, most of the time, we don't even think about our heart. Most of the time, we ignore it. We don't need to think about what it's doing. Yet, it's still there, beating away regularly. You know, the physical heart is at the very centre of our physical life. But what about our spiritual heart? Well, the spiritual heart is at the vital centre of our identity, who we are. It's about what drives us and where our focus is. It forms our worldview and it governs our character. The spiritual heart is the essence of who we are. Now, that's not just me saying this either. This is what Scripture says, both the Old and the New Testaments. Let's have a look at Proverbs, and indeed, Proverbs chapter 4, verses 20 to 23, which say this. My son, pay attention to what I say. Turn your ear to my words. Do not let them out of your sight. Keep them within your heart. For they are life to those who find them and health to one's whole body. Above all else, guard your heart, for everything you do flows from it. I want to read that last verse to you again. Above all else, guard your heart, for everything you do flows from it. The heart, the spiritual heart, is at the vital centre of who we are. And this isn't just Old Testament thinking either, but it's also what Jesus says. Luke chapter 6 verse 45 tells us, a good man brings good things out of the good stored up in his heart, and an evil man brings evil things out of the evil stored up in his heart. For the mouth speaks what the heart is full of. What your heart is full of is what you say. In other words, once more, the heart is the vital centre. And it's for that reason that God's commandment says that we should love God with all our heart. It's also why it's personal, the list. If your heart doesn't love God, then it makes no difference what your soul and your mind and your strength are doing. If your heart doesn't love God, then that lack of love is what is going to flow out. You can put on a mask and pretend. You can try and fool even yourself with empty cliches. You can go through the motions in some sort of quasi-religious way. You can read all the scriptures you like. You can pray. You can sing psalms, hymns and spiritual songs. You can do all of these things. But if your heart doesn't love God, then we will not have the capacity. Nor will we have the identity. Nor will we have the inclination. Our vital centre will not be beating to love God. That's why the gospel, the good news, the message of love is given to those who are dead in their sin. That's why the gospel is so important. The gospel is the message of salvation that is able to bring God's love, a new heart beating at our very centre. And it's the gospel which does what? It cuts to the heart. That's what Paul says in Romans chapter 10, verses 8 to 10. This is the message concerning faith that we proclaim. If you declare with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For it is with your heart that you believe and are justified, and it is with your mouth that you profess your faith and are saved. Hear this, please. This salvation, this love act of God himself is not just so that we can be saved for this moment in time, but forever. So that we can have confidence as we look towards eternity. Oh, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus, for salvation. Thank you, Lord, for an eternity to be spent with you. 1 Corinthians 1, verses 21 to 22 says, now it is God who makes both us and you stand firm in Christ. He anointed us, set his seal of ownership on us, and put his Spirit in our hearts as a deposit guaranteeing what is to come. Do you see what a complete, what a comprehensive message of love and grace this is? Is this not the greatest love story ever? Is this not the reality of St. Valentine? God loved you and I so much that his only son came to earth to die for our sin, for your sin and for mine, that we might be forgiven, that we might have our relationship with the Father restored, that we might live with him forever. My Lord, what love is this? This message of love and grace that comes to us and cuts to our heart in such a way that we can't help but cry out, Jesus is Lord. And nor do we shout that just with words, but our whole being, the vital centre, our heart, giving us capacity, giving us the identity, giving us the inclination, our vital centre beating to the rhythm of God's own heart. Ba-boom, ba-boom, ba-boom. Jesus is Lord. Jesus is Lord. Jesus is Lord. That heart beats within us, the very heart of God. It beats within us. When? Well, I've got to tell you, that heart beats within us on those days that the doubts and the questions come, just as much as it beats when we're secure and at peace. It beats within us on the days when we cry out to God in lament, and in the days when we shout in praise and wonder. It beats within us even when we go through the valley of the shadow of death. And it still beats when we sit secure in the fortress of God's love. It beats when we struggle in the persecution that comes to the saints. And it beats when we're praised for being a light on a hill. In all of these times, we have the Spirit of God in our hearts, the Holy Spirit, a deposit of eternity, a guarantee of salvation forever. Moment by moment, whatever that moment, our vital centre is still beating. Jesus is still Lord. Jesus is still Lord. Jesus is still Lord. How great is our God? You know, he is so great that he calls us to love him with all of our heart, knowing exactly what we're like. God knows we can't do it on our own. I want to read another verse of the Bible from you now. It's a really sad verse. Genesis chapter 6 and verse 5. This verse is the first time in the whole of Scripture that the word heart is used. So here it is, Genesis 6 verse 5. The Lord saw how great the wickedness of the human race had become on the earth, and that every inclination of the thoughts of the human heart was only evil all the time. See what I mean about it being sad? The first mention of the heart in the Bible, and it's about evil within it. And this is the struggle we face as we seek to love the Lord God with all of our heart. The problem is that our heart gets in the way. Jeremiah understood this situation so well when he said in chapter 17, verse 9, as you may remember, the heart is deceitful above all things and beyond cure. Who can understand it? Who can understand our heart? Who can understand how easy it is to lose our spiritual passion? Who can understand the fluctuations and the distractions and the disinterest? Who can understand why on Sunday we can be so Christian, yet on Monday we can be so worldly? Who can understand the love we have for gossip and the aversion we have to living a disciplined life for God? You and I both know that this is the truth. Who can understand the restlessness and the lack of peace when our heart will not do as we desire? When we lose control, when we give in to temptation, when everything in us cries against it, yet we still do that which we know we should not do? Who can understand these things? I certainly don't. You don't either. But God does. He is the one who created the heart, that vital centre. He understands. And that is the truth we need to understand in order to love God with all our hearts. 1 John 3 verses 19 to 20 tells us, this is how we know that we belong to the truth and how we set our hearts at rest in his presence. If our hearts condemn us, we know that God is greater than our hearts and he knows everything. There it is. God is greater than your heart and mine. God knows your heart and mine. God will do what is necessary to get your vital centre beating to his rhythm, even if at the beginning that heart seems dead. But it will only happen if we're willing to see the truth. Will we truthfully admit our sins, our shortcomings, our weaknesses, or will we keep on putting on a mask and keep pretending that all is well? Will we speak truthfully? Will we truthfully speak God's foundations into our lives? Or will we keep on trying to fool ourselves with those empty cliches? Will we truthfully allow the scripture and prayer and psalms and hymns and spiritual songs to transform us each and every day? Or will we just keep on going through the motions? Folks, it's my prayer that each and every one of us will be willing to see the truth. Give God all your heart. Then, everything we do, our capacity, our identity, our inclination, everything, our soul, our mind, our strength, everything will all beat to the same tune, which is to fulfill the call of God, to love the Lord our God with all that we are. Happy Valentine's Day, friend. Love your Valentine, Jesus Christ. Let's spend a moment or two. Heavenly Father, on this day, on Valentine's Day, we thank you, Father, for your great love for us. We thank you that we see it so clearly in your Son, Jesus. We thank you, Lord, that he was willing to come to earth, to put off the majesty of heaven and become just like us. Nor did he just come, Lord, but he gave up his life to show your great love for us, that we might be forgiven, that we might be reconciled, that we might find our relationship to you restored. And more than that, that in your great love and mercy, that we might spend an eternity with you. Oh, Father, let our hearts beat to your rhythm. That rhythm that just keeps saying, Jesus Christ is Lord. Amen. And now, as we bring our service to a close, a blessing. May the love of the Father draw you to himself. May the power of the Lord Jesus strengthen you in his service. And may the joy of the Holy Spirit fill your hearts. And the blessing of God Almighty, who is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, be among you and remain with you always.